Chapter 10. Henry and the Free-for-All. James Henry Alden was a very rich man. His big mill stood just between Greenfield and Silver City. Now, J.H. Alden liked boys. He liked to see them running and jumping and playing. So each year, with three other rich men, he gave a field day to the town of Silver City. And even the mills were closed on field day. Every year, the boys were in training for the races. And not only boys, but men also, thin and fat. And girls trained for field day. There were prizes for all kinds of races, running and swimming and jumping. But the best one was a foot race, called a free-for-all, because anyone could run in it. Mr. Alden gave a prize of $25 and a silver cup to the winner of the free-for-all. Sometimes a boy won the race, sometimes a girl. Once a fat man had won it. On field day, Henry was cutting the grass for Dr. Moore. Suddenly, the doctor stopped his car on the street and called to Henry. "Hop in," he said. "Today is field day, and I want you to see the races." Henry hopped in, and the doctor started the car. "I'm sorry I can't go," said Dr. Moore, "and I want to know all about it. I want you to tell me who wins each race." Soon Henry found himself sitting on the bleachers. By and by, a small boy climbed up the bleachers and sat beside him. Then a man called, "Free for all, come and get ready." "What is that?" asked Henry. "A free for all." "Don't you know?" asked the small boy. "Didn't you see the one last year?" "No," said Henry. The boy laughed. "That was a funny one," he said. "There were two fat men in it and some girls and boys. That boy over there won it. You should have seen him. He ran so fast you could hardly see his legs at all." Henry looked at the winner of last year's race. He was smaller than Henry, but he was older. Suddenly Henry stood up and quietly left the bleachers. He went to the room where the boys were getting ready for the race.
"Do you want to run in the race?" a man asked him.
"Yes, I do," replied Henry. The man gave him some track clothes to put on.
"Where did you train?" he asked.
"I never was trained," said Henry.
"These boys have been training all year," remarked the man.
"Oh, I don't think I'll win," answered Henry. "But I like to run. It's lots of fun, you know."
"So it is," said the man. "So it is."
Henry could hardly wait for the race to begin. He loved to run. But at last the race was called. It was time to start. Henry was number 4. Now Henry began to think. "It's a long race," he said to himself. "I must go easy at first." The bell rang. Off went the runners down the track. In almost no time, Henry was far behind most of the other runners, but he did not seem to mind this. "It's fun to run anyway," he said again to himself, and he tried to see how easily he could run. All at once, he had another thought. "I've tried to see how easily I can run," he said to himself. "Now I'll try to see how fast I can run." Then all the people began to see how fast Henry could run. He ran faster and faster, and soon he passed the two girls ahead of him. Then he passed a fat man and a little boy. The people began to shout, "Number 4! Number 4!" Here was the kind of race they loved. "Faster! Faster!" cried Henry to himself. "I can run faster than this!" He could. He passed number 25 and number 6. Then he passed number 5 and number 10. Only one runner was ahead of Henry now. It was number 16. Then Henry began to think of winning the race. He knew how much the $25 prize would mean to Jesse and the rest of the children. "I'm going to win this race," he said to himself. "I must pass number 16. He ran still faster. He could see the line at the end of the race. "Number 4! Number 4!" shouted the people. "He's going to win!" When Henry was near number 16, he put his head down and ran as fast as he could. He passed number 16 and went across the line. He had won. The people shouted and shouted. Some men held Henry up high and carried him to Mr. Alden for the prize.
Then a man asked, "What is your name, boy?"
Henry did not know what to say. He did not want to tell his name, so he answered, "Henry James." Now this was Henry's name, but it was not all of his name. At once the big sign said, "Henry James, number 4, winner of free-for-all."
"Here is the prize, Henry James," said Mr. Alden. "You can run well, my boy. I'd like to see you run."
He gave Henry a silver cup and the $25. Then he shook hands with him. Just then, Dr. Moore came along and climbed up in the bleachers, but Henry did not see him. The doctor laughed to himself as Henry James shook hands with James Henry. At last, Henry got away from the people and started back to Dr. Moore's. He had the $25 prize in his pocket. When Dr. Moore came home and found Henry cutting the grass, he laughed quietly to himself.
"I just got home," said Henry. "I will tell you who won all the races."
Dr. Moore did not tell Henry that he had been up in the bleachers. He let Henry tell him about the races.
"And who won the free-for-all?" he asked.
"I did," said Henry.
"You did?" cried Dr. Moore. "Good for you. What are you going to do with the money?"
"I'll give it to Jesse," answered Henry.
"Good," said the doctor again.
When Henry arrived at the boxcar with the $25, he found dinner ready. Jesse had boiled the rest of the vegetables and put butter on top. The children began to eat, but hungry as they were, they stopped when Henry told them about the race and showed them the silver cup. They were so excited that they couldn't eat.
"You won the race, Henry?" cried Jesse, delighted. "Oh, I'm so glad." "You can run fast, Henry," said Benny. "I'm glad you won the race, too." He looked at the silver cup.
"I said my name was Henry James," said Henry.
"That's right," said Jesse. "So it is. You didn't have to change it."
"Are we rich now, Henry?" asked Benny.
"No, not very," said Henry, laughing. "By the way, I bought something for supper."
Jesse looked in the bag. There were some fat brown potatoes in it.
"Oh, I know how to cook these," cried Jesse happily. "They will be good. You just wait."
"I can't wait," said Henry, laughing. Then he went back to work. After dinner, Benny played around with the dog.
"Benny," Jesse said suddenly as she hung her dish towels up to dry, "it's high time you learned to read."
"No," said Benny, "no school now."
Jesse laughed.
"No," she said, "you can't go to school, but I can help you. I wish I had a book."
"We could make a book," said Violet. "We have all the papers left from bundles."
"So we could," replied Jesse.
"But what could we use to make the words?"
"We could use a burned stick out of the fire," said Violet.
So Jesse put the end of a long stick into the fire and burned it black. Then she used the burned end to make words.
"Won't Henry be glad when he finds Benny can read?" cried Violet.
Now, Benny did not want to learn to read, but he liked to watch the girls make the book. Jesse made the words, "See me," in the book. She called Benny, but he could not tell "see" from "me."
"Don't you see, Benny," said Jesse, "this one has an S. It says C. This one has M. It says me."
But Benny did not see.
"It is too hard for me," he said.
"I'll tell you, Jesse," said Violet at last. "Let's make C on one paper and me on the other. That's the way they do in school. Then have him point to C."
The girls did this. They called Benny, and Jessie showed him again very carefully the word that said "see." Then she put the two words down on the ground.
"Now, Benny, point to see," said Jessie.
Benny looked at the two words. He could not tell. But Watch barked and put his paw
on sea.
Now, Watch did not know one word from the other, but Benny thought he did. Was he going to let a dog get ahead of him? Not Benny. He looked at the words and learned them almost at once.
Good old Watch, said Jessie.
It isn't hard at all, said Benny. Is it, Watch?
Before supper, Benny could read,
see me run. I can run. Can you run?
Good boy, said Jessie. Oh, now I must get supper.
The children started up the fire and washed the potatoes in the brook. Then Jessie put wet papers around them and put them in the fire under the hot stones.
Are you going to burn them up, Jessie? Asked Benny.
Oh, no, Betty, said Jessie. You wait and see.
When Henry came home, he found Jessie rolling the potatoes out of the fire. They were very black.
Oh, did you burn them up? Asked Henry.
No, indeed, said Jessie. Come and see.
She gave 3 black potatoes to each one.
They're very hot, said Violet. Look out.
Open them, said Jessie, and take out the potato with a spoon. Then put butter on top and some salt. I will get Benny's out.
Well,
how are they?
Oh, cried Benny, they are delicious.
What did I tell you? Said Jessie.
Have some milk?
Milk and potatoes make a very good supper, said Henry.
I can read, remarked Benny.
What? Said Henry.
Yes, he can, said Violet. He learned this afternoon.
Go and get your book, Benny.
Benny liked to read now.
It is not hard, he said. Watch can read, too.
Oh, can he? Laughed Henry. Let's see him.
Watch is too tired now, said Benny. I will read to you.
Benny read out of his new book.
Good old Benny, said Henry.
Come to bed now. You must be tired with all that work, and I am tired, too.
Chapter 11. The Doctor Takes a Hand. The days went by happily for the boxcar children. They found more treasures in the dump, and Henry worked every day for Dr. Moore. One noon, Henry came home with some new stockings for Benny. Benny was very happy about them and made everyone admire them. And when Jessie looked at the new stockings, she had a happy thought. She carefully washed Benny's old stockings and hung them up to dry. That afternoon, she and Violet sat down with the work bag between them to make a bear for Benny.
You must make a tail too, Jessie, begged Benny, watching her put on the arms and legs and head.
Bears don't have tails, said Jessie. Your old bear didn't have a tail.
But this bear must have a tail, replied Benny,
knowing that Jessie would put on 2 tails if he asked her to.
What kind of tail? Asked Jessie at last.
Long and thin, said Benny happily, so I can pull it.
Benny, cried Jessie, laughing. But she made a tail, long and thin, just as Benny had ordered.
What's his name, Jessie? Asked Benny,
when at last the bear was handed over to him.
I haven't thought about a name, replied Jessie. Why don't you think up a nice name for him?
Well, you made him out of my old stockings. Let's name him Stockings.
All right. Stockings it is, agreed Jessie, trying not to laugh.
And from that day on, the bear's name was Stockings as long as he lived. And he lived to be a very old bear indeed. One afternoon, Jessie saw how long Benny's hair was getting, and she cut it with violet scissors. Benny stood quietly while she did it. But while his sisters were getting supper, he said to himself,
Jessie cut my hair. I'll get violet scissors and cut Watch's hair. He will look better.
He found violet scissors and made Watch lie down on his side. Then he began to cut the hair off.
Benny said,
Good dog watch. You are Jessie's dog, and so I will cut a J in your hair. Hold still now.
Watch lay still, and Benny began to cut a J. It was not a very good J, but it looked a little like one. Soon Benny had cut off all the hair on one side, with a J in the middle. He stood admiring his work, and just then Jessie came to see what he was doing.
"Benny," she cried, "what are you doing?"
Then she began to laugh.
"Oh, Violet, come and see," she called. "Watch looks so funny."
Jessie laughed and laughed until she almost cried. Violet laughed until she did cry. Then she could not stop crying. She cried and cried. At last Jessie made up her mind that Violet was really sick.
"You must go to bed, Violet," she said.
She helped her carefully into the boxcar and put pine needles all around her and under her. Then she wet a handkerchief in the cold water of the brook and laid it on her little sister's hot head.
"I wish Henry would come home," said Jessie. "What shall we do?"
When Henry came at last, he looked at Violet and said that maybe she had a cold.
"Maybe she sat too long by the brook," he said. "If Violet is very sick, she ought to go to the hospital," said Jessie.
"Yes, I know that," said Henry. "And we don't want her to go to a hospital if we can help it. We should have to tell her name."
"Yes," said Jessie. "Then Grandfather could find us."
The two older children sat up with Violet. They put cold water on her head. But after dark, Violet shook all over, and Jessie was frightened. She covered Violet all over with pine needles. But still she shook. They could not get her warm.
"I'm going to get Dr. Moore," said Henry. "I'm afraid Violet is very sick."
Then Henry started to run. He ran even faster than he had run in the race. Down the hill into the town he ran, until he came to Dr. Moore's house.
"Please come," he cried. "Violet is very sick."
The doctor said, "Come and get into my car." He did not ask Henry which way to go, but the car went up the right road. When they came to the woods, he said to Henry, "Stay here in the car." He ran alone up the hill to the boxcar. It seemed like magic that he knew where to go. When Dr. Moore came back, he was carrying Violet in his arms. Jessie and Benny and Watch came, too. They all got into the car.
"Are you going to take her to a hospital?" asked Henry.
"No," said Dr. Moore. "I'm taking her to my house." When they stopped at last, Dr. Moore carried Violet into the house and said to his mother, "Violet is very sick. We must put her to bed." Mrs. Moore hurried around, opening beds and bringing pillows, and Mary came from the kitchen with hot water bottles. After a while, Violet began to get warm. Then Mrs. Moore came to get the other children. "You must stay here all night," she said. She gave Henry and Benny a big bed, and Jessie slept in the little one. But Violet was so sick that the doctor did not go to bed all night. He would not leave her. He sat by her side until 10 o'clock in the morning. Before 10 o'clock, a man came to see the doctor. Mary told him he could wait, so he sat down in the living room. Soon Benny came in.
"Where is the doctor?" asked the man crossly.
"He's up in Violet's room," answered Benny.
"This means $5,000 to him if he will come down," said the man.
"Oh, he can't come now," said Benny.
"What do you mean, boy?" asked the man. "What is he doing?"
"He's taking care of my sister Violet," said Benny. "She's sick."
"And you mean he wouldn't leave her even if I gave him $5,000? Asked the man.
"Yes," answered Benny. "That's what I mean."
Then the man said, "You see, I have lost a little boy, and I think the doctor knows where he is. My little boy is just about as old as you are."
"Well, if you don't find him, maybe you can have me," remarked Benny. "I like you."
"You do?" cried the man. "Come and get up in my lap."
Benny climbed into the man's lap.
"Have you got a dog?" he asked.
"No," said the man. "He is dead now. But you can see him in my watch. Here it is." Benny looked at the dog.
"He looks like a very good dog," he said. "I have a dog, too. His name is Watch."
Just then Watch came in with Dr. Moore. "Good morning," said Dr. Moore. "Benny, you can go and play with Watch." Benny ran out, and the man said, "Dr. Moore, where are my grandchildren?" "That little boy is one of them," said Dr. Moore quietly.
"That beautiful little boy?" said the man.
"Yes," said Dr. Moore. "They are all good children, but they are afraid of you. They are afraid you will find them."
"How do you know that?" asked the man.
"They have changed their names," said the doctor. He looked at the man in a queer way. "The big boy changed his name on field day. You saw him then."
"I saw him?
What did he change his name to?" asked the man.
"Henry James," said the doctor.
"The running boy," cried the man. "The boy who won the free-for-all. I like that boy."
"So I am his grandfather."
Chapter 12. James Henry and Henry James. Dr. Moore went to get his mother. "Mother," he said, "this is Mr. James Henry Alden. He wants to take his grandchildren to live with him."
"I'm afraid they won't want to go with you," said Mrs. Moore, "until they learn to like you. And they won't want to go while Violet is so sick."
"Can't I see them?" begged Mr. Alden. "I won't tell them who I am." "That would help," agreed the doctor. "If they grow to like you before they know who you are, things will be easier."
"Yes," said Mrs. Moore.
"Stay here with us for a while. The children will learn to like you, and then we can tell them that you are their grandfather."
"Thank you," said Mr. Alden.
"I will go home and get some clothes and come back, and I will give you the $5,000. But Dr. Moore would not take the money. "I just want these children to be happy," he said.
When Mary learned that she was to cook for Mr. Alden, she was frightened.
"How can I cook for him?" she cried. "He has everything. He is a very rich man."
"You can cook for anyone," said Dr. Moore kindly. "Just get one of your good chicken dinners and make some cherry dumplings." At dinner, Mr. Alden saw all his grandchildren but Violet. He smiled with delight when he saw Jessie come into the room in her quiet way.
"Children," said Mrs. Moore, "this is Mr. Henry."
Benny laughed.
"Henry and Mr. Henry," he remarked. "That is funny."
Henry shook hands with Mr. Alden before he sat down at the table.
"Where have I seen that man before?" he thought.
The children liked to hear Mr. Henry talk. He told them about a big cucumber in his garden. The cucumber was growing inside a bottle, and he couldn't get it out.
"Why not?" asked Benny.
"It is too big," said Mr. Alden.
"How did it get in?" asked Benny.
"It was a little cucumber when it went in," said Mr. Alden. "A cucumber will grow just the same in a bottle. It will grow so big, you can't get it out."
"I'd like to see the cucumber," said Benny, stopping in the middle of his cherry dumpling.
"Would you really?" asked Mr. Alden, delighted. "Someday you and I will go over and pick it."
"And we can bring it to Violet," said Benny.
"Yes, we'll bring it to Violet," agreed Mr. Alden.
Henry thought again.
"Where have I seen that man before? I wish I could remember." He could not remember, but he liked Mr. Alden very much.
All the children liked him because he was kind to them. At last, one day, Mr. Alden could see Violet and went softly into her room with some beautiful flowers from his garden. The children loved him when he patted Violet's dark head and told her that he was sorry she had been sick.
He told her, too, about his garden, where the flowers came from.
"I'd like to see your garden," said Violet. "I love flowers."
"How long are you going to stay, Mr. Henry?" asked Benny.
"Shh, Benny," said Jesse.
"I want to stay here as long as I can, my boy," said Mr. Alden quietly. Henry looked at the man again. He knew that he had heard him say, "my boy," before. Now, where was it? He could not remember. After dinner, Mr. Alden sat under a tree, reading. Henry was working in the flower garden in front of the house. He looked at Mr. Alden again and again. Suddenly, it came to him as the man smiled over his book.
"It is the same man who gave me the $25 prize and the silver cup," he said to himself. "I didn't remember him at first because I was so excited when he shook hands with me." He took another look and said again, "It's the very same man."
Henry sat thinking for a little while. Then he got up and went to find Dr. Moore.
"Do you know who gave me the prize on field day?" he asked the doctor. "Do you know what his name was?"
"James Alden of the Mills," replied the doctor. "J.H. Alden over at Greenfield." He did not look at Henry while he was saying it. Poor Henry was so surprised he almost fell over. That kind man, his grandfather? He went out and sat on the steps to think it over. To begin with, this man was too young. Henry had thought of his grandfather as being an old man with white hair, and Mrs. Moore had called him Mr. Henry. Could it be that the man knew he was their grandfather and hadn't told them? Then he saw that Mr. Alden was getting out of his chair under the trees. "It's now or never," thought Henry. "I have to know." He walked eagerly after the man, who was going toward the garden with his back to Henry. Then the man turned around and saw how excited Henry was.
"Are you James Henry Alden of Greenfield?" Henry asked.
"I am, my boy," replied Mr. Alden with a smile. "Does that mean you know that I know you are Henry James Alden?"
"Yes," said Henry quietly.
Then James Henry Alden shook hands again with Henry James Alden. Jesse and Benny came across the grass just in time to hear Henry say,
"But grandfather..."
"Grandfather," cried Jesse. "What do you mean, Henry?"
"Yes, Jesse," said Henry eagerly. "He's the man we've been running away from all this time."
"I thought you were old," said Benny, "and cross. Jesse said so."
I didn't know, Benny," said Jesse. Her face was red. "To think of running away from this kind man."
But her grandfather did not seem to mind. He patted her on the head and said, "Let's go up and see Violet." There was no stopping Benny. He hurried into Violet's room, holding Mr. Alden by the hand and shouting,
"It's Grandfather, Violet, and he isn't cross after all."
"What do you mean?" asked Violet. "Isn't he Mr. Henry?"
"My name is James Henry Alden," replied her grandfather.
"And my name is Henry James Alden," cried Henry.
"Well, well," said Dr. Moore. Violet held on to her grandfather's hand and listened to the rest talking excitedly. "Where have you been living?" asked Mr. Alden at last. They all looked at each other, even Dr. Moore and his mother. Then they all laughed as if they never would stop.
"You just ought to see," said Dr. Moore.
"What?" cried all the children at once. "You never saw it in the daytime."
"Is that so?" laughed the doctor. "I have seen it many times in the daytime."
"Seen what?" asked Mr. Alden.
"Our house," said Jesse. "We have been living in a boxcar in the woods."
Then they all began to tell him about the dump and the dishes and the brook and the swimming pool.
They have 4 beds of pine needles in the car, said Dr. Moore.
How do you know? Asked Jesse.
Well, said Dr. Moore, the first day Henry worked for me, I walked after him as far as the hill.
Why did you do that? Asked Mr. Alden.
I liked him. I saw he was a fine boy, and I wanted to see where he lived.
But you can't see the boxcar from the hill, said Jesse.
No, but I came back that night and looked around, said Dr. Moore.
About 10 o'clock, cried Jesse.
Yes, said the doctor. I stepped on a stick, and you heard me.
Our rabbit, cried Jesse and Henry. Watch barked.
Yes, I heard the dog bark, so I knew you were in the boxcar. Then I went home.
But you came back? Asked Jesse.
Oh, yes. When you were picking cherries, I went up to see your house. I wanted to see if you had enough to eat and enough dishes.
Why didn't you tell me? Asked Mr. Alden. Didn't you know they were my grandchildren?
The doctor laughed.
Yes, I did. But they were having such a fine time that I didn't want to tell. They got along very well until Violet got sick. Then I told you.
I'm glad you did, said Mr. Alden.
I've seen your house, too, said Mrs. Moore. I went up one day and saw all your dishes. I liked your big pitcher and teapot.
All of you have seen it but me, said Mr. Alden.
We'll show it to you, cried Benny. I'll show you my cart made out of wheels and my pink cup.
Good for you, Benny, said his grandfather, much pleased. When Violet gets well, we'll all go up there. If you will show me your house, I'll show you my house.
Do you have a house? Asked Benny in surprise.
Yes. You can live there with me if you like it. I have been looking for you children for a long time.
Violet was soon well again, and one afternoon, they all started out to see the boxcar. The doctor took them in his car. Many people looked out of their windows to watch Mr. Alden and his grandchildren. They were glad that the children had found such a kind grandfather at last. When they arrived at their old home, they ran around all talking excitedly. Watch sniffed and sniffed all around, looking for the bone he had buried. Everything was the same.
Here is the dam for the pool, said Henry to his grandfather.
See our building? Shouted Benny, for that was what he called the fireplace. It really burns, too. And this is the refrigerator in the waterfall, and here is my pink cup.
They all stepped on the stump and climbed into the car. They looked at the 4 beds and the dishes.
Here is the same old pitcher and teapot, said Jesse, laughing.
They found the blue tablecloth, and they all sat down by the brook and ate chicken and bread and butter and cookies. Benny drank milk from his pink cup.
Come, we ought to go now, said Dr. Moore at last. The sun is going down. I don't want Violet to take any more cold.
They closed the boxcar door and said goodbye. But they were all sorry to go.
Tomorrow, said Mr. Alden, will all of you come to see my house?
Oh, yes, cried the children happily. They did not know what a beautiful house it was and what good times they were going to have in it. Chapter 13, A New Home for the Boxcar. The children's grandfather wanted them to like his house. He wanted them to live with him all the time, so he had made over some of the rooms just for them. The children went with him in his car to see the house. When the car stopped in front of it, Henry cried in surprise,
"Do you live here, in this beautiful house?"
It was a beautiful house. It was very big, with many trees and flower gardens around it.
"You may live here, too, if you like my house," remarked his grandfather, watching Henry's face.
The house was beautiful inside, too. There were flowers everywhere. There were maids everywhere. The children went up to the bedrooms.
Oh, cried Jessie,
This is Violet's room.
It really was Violet's room. There were violets on the wallpaper. The bed was white with a violet cover. On the table were flowers.
What a beautiful room, cried Violet, sitting down in a soft, pretty chair.
All the children shouted when they saw Benny's room. The wallpaper was blue and covered with big rabbits and dogs and bears. There were a rocking horse and a toolbox and little tables and chairs. And an engine stood on a track with cars almost as big as the little boy himself. Benny ran over to the engine.
Can I run this train all day? He asked.
He sat down on the floor by the engine.
Oh, no, said Henry. You are going to school as soon as it begins.
His grandfather laughed. That is right, my boy. You will like school. You will learn to read.
Oh, I can read now, said Benny.
In Jessie's room, they found a bed for Watch. It was on the floor by her bed. Watch got in at once, sniffed at the pillow, turned around three times, and lay down.
He likes it, said Jessie. He will sleep by me.
Just then the children heard a doorbell ring. A maid came up to find Mr. Alden.
A man to see you, she said, about the dog.
Now when Jessie heard the word dog, she was frightened. She was afraid it was about Watch.
They won't take Watch away, she whispered to Henry.
No, indeed, said Henry. We'll never, never give him up. Henry and Jessie and the other children went down with their grandfather to see the man, and Jessie was more frightened than ever. Watch did not growl at the man. He jumped up on him delightedly.
You see, he was my dog, said the man, but I sold him to a lady, and he ran away from her that very day. I have to turn him over to the lady I sold him to.
How do you know he is the same dog? Asked Mr. Alden.
Oh, he's my dog, said the man. You see, he knows me, and he has a small black spot on this foot. But someone has cut his hair on one side.
Benny looked. He found the black spot on Watch's foot.
I never saw that spot before, said Henry.
I will give you what you want for the dog, said Mr. Alden. The children love him. They want to keep him.
But I sold him to a lady, said the man. I must take the dog to her.
Then Henry said, maybe she will want to change to another dog when she sees his hair. If she will agree to take another dog, will you let my grandfather have this one?
Yes, I will, said the man.
Let's go and ask her, grandfather, said Benny. She will let Jessie have Watch. He is her dog. She took the thorn out of his foot.
The man told Mr. Alden where the lady lived, and they all started out to find her. She was a very pretty young lady, and she asked them to sit down. But Benny could not wait. He said,
oh, please let us keep Watch. I want him, and Jessie wants him, and we didn't know he was your dog.
What do you mean? Asked the lady, laughing.
Who is Watch?
This dog is Watch, answered Henry.
A man came to Grandfather's house today and told us that he had sold the dog to you. When Watch ran away from you the day you bought him, he came to us. He had a thorn in his foot, and Jessie took it out.
Watch looked up at the lady and wagged his tail.
When she looked at him, she began to laugh.
Look at his side, she said. Who cut his hair?
I'm sorry, said Henry. Benny did that one day with violet scissors.
I am not sorry, said the lady, laughing. He looks so funny.
And you want to keep him. Is that it?
Oh, yes, said Jessie eagerly. The man will let us have him if you will take another dog.
Don't be afraid, said the young lady. You may keep the dog. I can change to another one.
Oh, thank you. You are nice, cried Benny.
He ran to the lady and climbed up in her lap before anyone could stop him. "I'd like to keep you, Benny, in place of the dog," laughed the lady, putting her arms around him. How happy the children were to have Watch to keep. Mr. Alden gave the money to the man at once. Four happy children sat with their grandfather around the Alden dinner table that night. The maid smiled in the kitchen to hear the children laugh. And the children laughed because Watch had a chair at the table beside Jesse and was really waited on by a maid. Would you ever think that four children could be homesick in such a beautiful house? Jesse was the first one to wish for the old boxcar. One day she said, "Oh, Grandfather, I'd like to cook something once more in the dear old kettle in the woods."
"Go out in the kitchen, my dear," said her grandfather. "The maids will help you. You can cook all you want to."
Jesse liked this, but it was not like the old days in the boxcar. Then one day Benny said,
"Grandfather, I wish I could drink my milk out of my dear old pink cup."
His grandfather began to think. He had some pink cups, but they were not so dear to Benny as his old cracked one. At last Mr. Alden said,
"I am going to give you children a surprise."
"Is it very nice?" asked Benny.
"No, not very," laughed his grandfather. "It is not pretty at all."
"When will it come?" asked Benny.
"It will come today. You children must all go over to Dr. Moore's and stay until the surprise comes."
"What can it be?" wondered Violet.
Her grandfather laughed. "I hope you will like it," he said. "It is very heavy."
The children were glad to see sweet Mrs. Moore and the kind doctor again. They stayed until Mr. Alden said the surprise was ready. Then Dr. Moore and his mother went back with them in the big car. Mr. Alden was as happy as a boy. He took them by the garage and through the big gardens. At last they came to a garden with a fountain in the middle and trees around it. Near the fountain was the surprise. It was the old boxcar. The children ran over to it with cries of delight, opened the door and climbed in. All the things were in place. Even the old dead stump was there to step on. Here was the old knife which had cut butter and bread and vegetables and firewood and string. Here was Benny's pink cup, and here was his bed. Here were the big kettle and the blue tablecloth. Here were the pitcher and the old teapot. And here was the dinner bell, which the children had made from an old tin can. Benny hung it on a tree with a string and rang it over and over again with a spoon. Watch rolled on the floor of the car and barked and barked. Then he began to sniff at everything.
"He's looking for the bony berry," laughed Benny.
"How they love the old boxcar," said Mrs. Moore. "I like to see them so happy."
"Thank you for the surprise, Grandfather," said Violet. "We'll never go away from you again."
"I hope not, my dear," said Mr. Alden. "We'll all live happily ever after."
And so they did.
We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged Listening Library production. Thank you for listening. Text copyright 1942 by Albert Whitman and Company. Production copyright 1991, Random House, Inc. All rights reserved.
Surprise Island by Gertrude Chandler Warner. Chapter 1, The First Surprise.
"Now tell us, Grandfather," cried Henry. "We ran all the way home from school."
"Tell us," shouted Benny, throwing himself down on the grass beside the dog.
"School is out for the whole summer, and Watch wants to know."
"Violet and I want to know, too," said Jessie.
Mr. Alden was sitting in the garden reading. He looked at his four grandchildren in surprise.
"Let me see. Was this the day I said I'd tell you?" he asked them.
"He's joking, Benny," said Jessie.
"Joking," cried Mr. Alden. "I mean everything I say."
But he was joking just the same, and enjoying himself, too. In the spring, he had promised his grandchildren a surprise for the summer, and now he had been waiting more than an hour for the children to come home.
"School is out," said Violet.
"We ran all the way home," shouted Benny.
"Yes, so you said," said Mr. Alden slowly.
"You said the surprise was something you liked to do yourself when you were 15, Henry told him.
"Yes, or even 6, said Mr. Alden, looking at Benny.
"And you said you'd tell us the minute school was out, Grandfather," said Benny.
Mr. Alden laughed. "I certainly did," he replied. "And now I'm going to tell you." The four children looked at him. He began,
"Once upon a time, my father bought an island."
"He bought one?" cried Henry.
"Yes," Mr. Alden went on. "The island is small. There is nothing much on it except a small house, a barn, and a fisherman's hut. My father wanted a quiet place to keep his best horses. Old Captain Daniel, who runs the motorboat, lives in the fisherman's hut now. Let's all go down to the island and look it over. If you want to stay there all summer, you may."
"Oh, Grandfather," cried Jessie, "we would like it better than anything in the world. It will be just like the boxcar days."
"Couldn't Watch go too?" asked Benny, with his hand on the dog's head.
"Certainly," said Mr. Alden. "He would be lonesome without you."
"Can we have a real stove and cook?" asked Violet.
"You'll have to cook," replied Mr. Alden, "if you want to eat. I will give you some money for dishes and things. You must tell me how much money you need, but don't make it too much."
All the children laughed a little, because even Benny knew that their grandfather had enough money to buy anything they wanted.
"Let's go now," said Benny suddenly.
The four children jumped up so quickly that Mr. Alden threw back his head and laughed.
"We will go in the car as far as the ocean," he said. "Then Captain Daniel will take us in the motorboat across to the island. We might stop and get Dr. Moore and his mother to come along and enjoy the fun. It's the doctor's day off."
The children were delighted, for Dr. Moore and his mother were their best friends. Dr. Moore did not look at all surprised when they came. He helped his mother into the big car, and off they all went toward the ocean. On the way, Jessie and Violet began to plan their housekeeping.
"We have to buy bread and bottles of milk," said Jessie. "Then we could live even if we didn't have anything else to eat."
"Here's a little book and a pen," said Mr. Alden, taking a small blue book from his pocket.
"Write down the dishes we need," said Violet.
Before they reached the ocean, Jessie had put down all the things they could think of. There were spoons, cups, bowls, plates, a sharp knife, a dishpan, and a big kettle. Then they saw the ocean and the Alden motorboat tied up at the small dock. Captain Daniel, the old fisherman, was waiting for them on the dock.
"How are you, Captain?" said Mr. Alden as they shook hands. "Just take us across to the island. If the children don't like it, you can bring us right back again."
The children shouted at this. "We'll like it all right," they said. They climbed into the boat and were off.
"There's our island," cried Henry. "Our very own island."
Benny began to wave.
"There's nobody there, Benny."
"Why are you waving?" asked Grandfather.
In spite of this, all the children began to wave at the island.
"And there's our little house," shouted Benny. "But is it big enough for all of us?"
"Oh, no," said Captain Daniel. "That little hut is my house." He laughed and looked at Mr. Alden.
They landed at the little dock and walked a short way before they saw a small yellow house.
"Are we going to live in that yellow house?" cried Jessie.
"Oh, no," answered Mr. Alden. "You children are going to live in the barn."
"In the barn!" shouted the children as they ran over to it.
"This is the best idea I have ever heard," cried Henry. He opened the big door and looked in. A new floor had been laid, but the children did not notice it. All of them were looking at the four box stalls along the back of the room.
"Bedrooms!" cried Benny, pointing to the box stalls.
"That's what they are," said Henry, opening one of the swinging doors to look in. Each stall had a large window and nothing else at all. "Let's bring down some straw for beds," said Henry, looking up the stairs. "We can cover the straw with blankets." He pointed to a pile of clean, light brown blankets. Jessie ran over to look at the little stove. It was new, and there was an oven on top. Then Henry walked over to look at some barrels.
"Here are two empty barrels," he shouted. "We can use them for table legs and lay this long board across them for a table."
"Wonderful," said Jessie. The older people stood in the doorway, watching the excited children.
"I'm glad the workmen left these old boxes here," said Henry. "I can make dozens of things out of that wood. Maybe a little cupboard for the dishes."
"Oh, Henry, do you think you could?" cried Violet. "We wouldn't need doors."
"Of course he could," said Benny. "He could make doors, too. Henry can make anything."
"There is a little spring over there," said Mr. Alden, taking the children to the window to look. "That spring never runs dry. It is always as cold as ice, even on very hot days, and it is safe to drink, too."
"Isn't this perfect, Henry?" said Jessie. "The most important things are settled already. Oh, I wish we could stay here tonight."
"How about dishes?" asked Violet.
Jessie said, "We can get spoons and things at the 5 and 10. Are there any dishes already on the island, Grandfather?"
"Not a dish, except what the captain has," replied Mr. Alden. "I'm sorry."
"Oh, don't be sorry," cried Jessie. "It's lots more fun to buy them. Let's get 6 of each thing. Then we can have company."
"There's still time to go back to the mainland," said Henry, looking at his watch. "We could go to the 5 and 10 for dishes, and we could buy bread and milk for supper."
"And I want my bear," said Benny.
"Very well, my children," said Mr. Alden, smiling. "You shall go back and get your things and stay here this very night."
But just then, Mr. Alden noticed that Captain Daniel had something on his mind.
"Did you want something, Captain?" he asked.
"Well, yes," replied Captain Daniel. "I heard you say I was the only one on the island."
"Well, aren't you?" Mr. Alden looked at him.
"No, I'm not. I've got a young friend staying with me in my hut. I thought I had better tell you. He's a good young man, handy and all, but he hasn't been well."
"What's the matter with him? Who is he?" asked Mr. Alden sharply, just as Captain Daniel knew he would.
"I've known him all his life," said Captain Daniel. Then he looked at Dr. Moore for help.
"Suppose I go down to the hut and talk with this man," said Dr. Moore.
"Fine," said Mr. Alden. "You go and see what this is all about."
"I want to go with you," said Benny.
"Oh, no," said the doctor. "You go look in the windows of the yellow house and see what you can see. I'll be right back."
So the children went over to look into every window, while Dr. Moore went off with Captain Daniel to see his friend. Chapter 2. Housekeeping.
"Thank you for coming, Doctor," said Captain Daniel as they walked toward the fisherman's hut. "You will see that it's all right."
Soon they came to the hut. A young man sat in the door fixing a lobster pot.
"Hello," he said, looking up.
"Hello," replied Dr. Moore. "I'm a doctor, and I thought I would come to see you.
Mr. Alden is leaving his 4 grandchildren on the island with Captain Daniel. The young man smiled. Yes, I know, he said. I'm glad you came.
He's a very handy man, Joe is, put in Captain Daniel. He's a big help to me.
I'd like to tell you about myself, said the young man. Please, sit down a minute. I used to live around here, he went on. Last year I went off to explore a place and dig up old Indian things. One day I fell from a very high rock and broke my arm. For a long time I didn't know who I was.
Now do you remember who you are? Asked Dr. Moore.
Yes. I think I'll tell you. The young man whispered a name.
You can't mean it, cried Dr. Moore. How strange. Who found you after you fell?
An old Indian found me and took me to his hut. He took care of me and got a doctor to fix my arm. I came here to Captain Daniel as soon as I remembered who I was.
Why didn't you go right back to your home? Asked Dr. Moore.
Because I wanted to be perfectly well before I went home. You see, I used to live with my uncle. It didn't seem right for me to go back home until I was sure that I was well again.
I see, said Dr. Moore. Come over some day to see me and tell me some more. I will look at your arm then.
It is almost well, said the young man.
Good, said Dr. Moore. You are doing the right thing. You should stay here and help Captain Daniel. You will like the 4 children when you get to know them.
I'm sure I shall, said the young man.
You won't tell anyone about me, will you?
No, I won't, promised the doctor. I will say that you are Captain Daniel's old friend and a handyman. The children can call you Joe.
Right, said Joe. My middle name is Joseph anyway.
Dr. Moore and Captain Daniel went back to the barn, leaving the strange handyman still fixing the lobster pot.
Do you feel better now, Captain? Asked the doctor.
I should say so. Thanks for fixing it up.
The stranger is all right, Mr. Alden, said Dr. Moore. Joe is a very fine fellow. He's very handy, and Captain Daniel has known him all his life.
You're sure, then, that everything is all right? Mr. Alden asked sharply.
Yes, said the doctor. The children will like Joe.
I want to go and see Joe, said Benny.
Not now, cried Henry. We haven't time. Don't you remember we're going back to the mainland and buy groceries and dishes?
Of course I remember, said Benny. I've been waiting and waiting.
Captain Daniel took them back to the mainland. The doctor and his mother left the others at the store.
We had a wonderful time seeing your new home, said Mrs. Moore.
May we come again? Asked Dr. Moore with a twinkle in his eye.
Oh, you know you may, said Jessie, smiling back. Come any time after we get some dishes.
Come on, Jessie, said Benny. Let's buy things.
Right, said Jessie. And they all went into the store. They walked straight to the piles of cooking dishes.
We are going to get a lot of dishes, said Jessie. May we have a big box first so that we can put the things into it as we find them?
Certainly, said the girl. How is this one? Is it big enough?
That's just fine, said Henry.
Look, Jessie, see that big pail? We ought to have 2, one for drinking water and one for dishwater.
That's a good idea, said Jessie. I hope we won't forget anything.
Soon they had everything they wanted.
It's 4 o'clock, said Henry. Let's go up to the house and get our swimming suits and towels.
And my bear, cried Benny.
We will get your bear if we don't get anything else, said Jessie.
I think we'll have to pack another box at the house, said Henry.
Let's pack old clothes, said Jessie. We certainly don't want to wear these school clothes.
I should say not, said Henry. We couldn't explore an island with good clothes on.
Are we going to explore? Asked Benny.
Yes, Benny, said Violet. I'm going to take my paints and make pictures of things we find.
Good, cried Henry, who liked Violet's little pictures very much. By this time, they had come to the house. Let's find what we want to take, said Henry, and bring it to Jessie's room. Mrs. McGregor, the housekeeper, met them at the door and said,
Jessie, don't you want to see what Mr. Alden has bought before you pack your things?
Bought?
Yes, indeed, replied Jessie.
Upstairs on Jessie's bed was a big pile of new play clothes. There were 4 pairs of brown shoes, too.
Oh, just think of grandfather's getting all these, cried Jessie. Just what we need. Let's each put on one of these suits and not take any school clothes at all.
I like my new shoes, said Benny.
He sat down on the floor and began to take off his old shoes at once. Mr. Alden smiled as he sat alone downstairs in his big chair and listened to the happy shouting.
Now for the packing box, said Henry.
Wait, said Jessie. Don't bring the box up here. Each one of us can carry some things downstairs.
I'll take the towels and my tools, said Henry.
Violet and I will carry the work bag, paints, the swimming suits, and the other clothes, said Jessie.
Benny can bring the flashlight and the rest of the things.
They all went downstairs with their arms full.
Now, did we forget anything? Asked Jessie.
We forgot my bear, I guess, said Benny, who had come downstairs again with a very funny-looking animal in his hand. He laid the bear beside the box.
The most important thing of all, cried Jessie, packing the bear carefully in the box.
We're all ready to go, Grandfather, said Henry, when the bear was added to the box. Are you sure you won't be lonesome?
Oh, thank you, my boy. No, indeed, said Mr. Alden quickly. He knew the children would not go at all unless he were careful. I wouldn't go with you if I could. I need a little rest without any children or dogs around.
The children did not need to look up to see the twinkle in his eye, for they knew very well that he liked to have them near him.
You won't hear Watch bark at the milkman for a long time, said Benny.
What shall I do, Benny? Asked his grandfather. I shall miss the barking and noise in the morning.
Goodbye, called everybody as the car started.
Mr. Alden and Mrs. McGregor waved until the car was out of sight.
They're wonderful children, said Mrs. McGregor. They are very clever. And yet they're never too busy to be kind to everybody. Even little Benny now didn't forget to say goodbye to the cook.
Thank you, Mrs. McGregor, said Mr. Alden. That means a lot to me, because you know them so well. He smiled as he went back to his big chair. He wanted to think about the children as they went across the island and into their new home. The children got out of the car at the dock.
Don't you forget that bread and milk, Jessie, said Benny.
Oh, my, cried Jessie. We almost went over without a thing to eat.
How lucky we are to have a store so near this dock. Let's get lots of bread and milk. If we have bread and milk, we can live without eating anything else.
I have to have my vegetables, said Benny.
Of course, said Jessie, laughing. We'll have lots of other things.
I want some supper now, Jessie, said Benny. I don't want to hear any more talking about it.
Jessie laughed. I'm glad you are so hungry, Benny, she said. I almost forgot to buy our supper.
It's only 6 o'clock. We can have supper ready in an hour. Here comes Henry with the bread and milk.
I can't wait an hour, said Benny. I have to go to bed in an hour because Mrs. McGregor says so.
Not tonight, Mr. Benny, said Henry, laughing.
Captain Daniel put the boxes into the boat and started the motor. In a very short time, they came to the island, and Captain Daniel helped the children carry the boxes to the barn.
Good luck, said Captain Daniel as he set down the last box. I hope you will like your new home.
Oh, we shall, Jessie called after him. And thank you. You have been so kind to us.
Now, said Henry, let's get to work.
Oh, isn't this exciting, cried Jessie. You open the boxes, and Benny and I will set up the table.
What a noise they made. Henry took off the cover of the box. The others pulled out the barrels and laid the wide board across them. Then the whole family unpacked the blue and white dishes.
We'll wash 4 bowls and 4 spoons, said Jessie. We won't heat water to wash all the dishes tonight. It is lucky that Captain Daniel brought us a little water.
No, said Violet. We can't put things away until we have a dish cupboard.
Tomorrow, laughed Henry, I will make that dish cupboard the very first thing.
Violet piled the bread on a plate while Jessie put 2 bottles of milk on the table. So, with packing boxes for chairs, the 4 children sat down. They put the bread into the bowls and poured the cold milk over it. With their new spoons, they began to eat their first delicious supper in their new home.
We must get something for Watch to eat, said Henry, as the dog ate 2 big slices of their bread.
How many pieces of bread may I have, Jessie? Asked Benny.
All you want, cried both Jessie and Henry.
When supper was over, Jessie got up so suddenly that her chair went over.
Let's wash these dishes right away, she said, and then make our beds.
So the children started for the spring, each with a bowl and spoon. They soon saw that the water from the spring came up into a barrel and ran over the top. The stream ran into the woods.
We had better wash dishes in the stream because we may want to drink the water in the barrel, said Henry.
As he waited for the others, he thought he saw a vegetable garden on the other side of the house. He could not see very well because it was getting dark. A funny thing to find on an island, he thought to himself.
I'm going to bring down my own bed myself, said Benny, starting back to the barn. I want the stall right next to Jessie's for my bedroom.
He's sleepy, said Jessie, looking at her little watch. It's 8 o'clock, and I'm sleepy too. After all the children were in bed, Jessie sat up suddenly and listened. She heard a sleepy little voice saying over and over, Jessie, I want my bear. I want my bear. She got up at once. With the flashlight, she soon found the funny-looking animal in the packing box and took it to Benny. When Jessie woke again, it was morning.
Chapter 3. The Garden. Jessie was not the first one to wake up the next day. At 6 o'clock, Henry went very quietly to her room and opened the swinging door to let Watch out. The dog came very quietly and followed Henry as he walked out of the barn to the spring. Henry stood still and looked around. He was right. It was just as he thought last night. There was a garden with rows and rows of vegetables in it. I wonder if this garden belongs to Captain Daniel, thought Henry. Then he heard a little noise and turned around. A young man was coming toward him. His head was down as he walked. Henry looked at him carefully. Henry thought the man looked very sad, but he forgot that when the stranger looked up and smiled. I'm Joe, he said. I'm the handyman. How do you like your garden?
Mine? Is it mine? Asked Henry.
Yes, there are 2 gardens on this island. One belongs to Captain Daniel, and this one is yours.
How did that happen? Asked Henry. I just got here.
Well, your grandfather knew that you would rather plant it yourself. If you did, it would be too late to start planting when you got out of school. So he told Captain Daniel to plant it, and he said you would weed and look after the garden when you came.
I will, said Henry, opening one of the peas. These are big enough to eat now.
Yes, said Joe. The peas are just right, but nothing else will be ready until later.
Haven't you ever eaten tiny vegetables? We did once, said Henry.
We pulled them because there were too many of them in the garden. Makes me hungry when I remember how good they were. The girls make such good things to eat out of almost nothing. The other children appeared at just that minute, but it was Benny who spoke first.
"Hello, Joe," he said.
"You look just like Joe. Is this your garden?"
"No," said Joe, laughing. "It's yours."
"Oh, no, it isn't," said Benny.
"It is ours, Benny," said Henry. "Joe and Captain Daniel started it for us, and you may help me weed it."
"Not now," said Benny. "I want my breakfast."
"We'll eat soon," said Jesse, smiling at Joe.
"This is Violet, and I'm Jesse."
Joe said, "Yes, Captain Daniel told me all your names. I feel as if I knew you all."
"Oh, look," cried Benny. "Peas. I'd like peas for dinner."
"Our dinner is all planned, then," said Jesse. "We'll have peas, and everyone will help pick and shell them." They walked slowly back to the barn, leaving Joe at the woodpile.
"He's nice, isn't he?" said Violet as they walked along. They all agreed that he was.
After the four bowls and the bread and milk were set on the table, the children sat down carefully on the packing boxes. Then Jesse said,
"I think that after breakfast, we'd better make a plan for the summer. Every day we must go swimming, and every day we must cook something at noon. After dinner, we must either make something or go exploring."
"Make something, such as a dish cupboard, I suppose," said Henry, looking at Violet.
"That's not a bad idea, Henry," cried Violet.
"I will make you a cupboard this very day," said Henry.
"Let's wash the dishes and pick the peas now," said Jesse. "Henry can make the dish cupboard while we shell the peas. We'll take the dishpan to hold them."
On the way to the spring with their bowls and the dishpan, they passed Joe at the woodpile.
"Henry," called Joe, stopping his work, "did you know that Captain Daniel goes over to the mainland every morning for groceries? If you need any groceries, you may leave your order on a piece of paper in the box on the dock. Captain Daniel will bring your order back to the island before dinner."
"Oh, how nice," said Jesse. "I was wondering what to do about milk. Ours is almost gone."
"Just write what you want, and I will take it down now," said Joe. "Here's my pen."
Jesse and Henry sat down facing each other on rocks to think.
"We must have butter for the peas," said Jesse, writing it down on a piece of paper from Joe's pocket.
"We want bread and four bottles of milk every day all summer," said Henry.
"Sugar," called Benny. "And some dog bread for Watch."
"Good," said Henry. "I almost forgot Watch."
"I want to go with Joe and see the little box," said Benny, taking Joe's hand.
"Let him go," said Violet. "I'll wash his bowl for him, and we can pick peas without him." Then the older children set to work. They picked enough for dinner, but lots of peas were left.
"Enough for two more dinners," said Henry, very pleased, "and more will grow. Now I will start that cupboard while you girls shell the peas."
"How many places will you need to put things, Jesse?"
"One shelf for spoons and things," said Jesse.
"And one shelf for dishes," said Violet.
"And one shelf for pans and kettles," said Jesse, "and an extra shelf for groceries."
The two girls sat in the open door of the barn shelling peas. Henry began to build the cupboard.
"What time shall we go swimming?" asked Jesse.
"We could go in right before lunch," said Henry. "Or if you were too busy cooking, we could swim before breakfast and maybe again at 4 o'clock.
"Fine," said Jesse. "Before breakfast when we feel like it. 4 o'clock when we don't.
Maybe both, and go to bed at 8 o'clock, or as soon as it gets dark."
"Oh, dear. Do we all have to go to bed so early?" asked Violet.
"You'll want to, believe me," said Henry. "You wait and see."
When the peas were shelled, Benny came running back.
"It's a big box, Violet," he said, "and it has a little door, and it will hold lots of bottles of milk and everything. I like to open the door and take out the things."
"What did you take out?" asked Violet.
Oh, Captain Daniel let me take out some letters and packages, answered Benny.
Maybe you'd like to do that every day, Benny, said Henry. You may take the order down to the box. Then you may get the groceries and letters when they come.
I'd like to do that, said Benny. Captain Daniel was there, and he said he's bringing our groceries soon. Then I can open the little door and get them.
That's fine, said Henry. He was glad to please Benny and get a little work done at the same time. Come and hold this door for me, will you?
Oh, our cupboard has doors, said Violet.
She watched Henry put two pieces of heavy cloth on the doors so that they would open and shut. The morning passed very quickly. Jesse lighted the little stove, boiled some water in the kettle, and put in the peas. When they were done, she added some salt and filled four dishes with peas. On top of each dish, she put a piece of butter. There was no need to call anyone, for the whole family and the dog stood watching her.
Oh, boy, cried Henry as he began to eat.
Oh, boy, cried Benny.
Violet said nothing, but when her first dish was empty, she passed it for more.
This is what I like, said Jessie. Everything seems better when we have to work to get it. It was fun to put white paper in the new dish cupboard and find the best places for each cup and bowl. And at 1 o'clock, the barn was once more in order. The cupboard was shut, and the four children and their dog were ready to explore the island.